And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. When I lived in Spring, Texas, I remember a time when I walked out of the door to tell my beloved goodbye as she went to work. And after I saw her car leave my line of sight, I turned around to go back inside, and what do you know, the door was locked. Now, this was early in the morning, and I had no phone on me. There was no spare key, and the house was a little too secure at that moment. No window was opened, unlocked. So I did the best I could, and that is I went to a neighbor's house, who I kind of knew, and I banged on his door. And he stumbles to the door with a quizzical look on his face. I'm not too sure I didn't wake him up. I told him my predicament, made a phone call, and my wife had to come back from work to let her poor husband back into the house. It's never fun to be locked out of something. And when it comes to locks, there's only one key that fits. Now, there's talk about keys. Unlocking and locking is one way of describing the kingdom of heaven. Heaven has a door. Heaven has a door. And Scripture speaks of there being keys to God's kingdom. In the gospel lesson today, we heard it. The church is given keys to bind and loose on earth as in heaven. Now, if those terms, binding and loosing, are a little confusing to you, as they certainly were for me at one time, think of them this way. Binding and loosing is like locking and unlocking the door to heaven. If a person is bound in their sins, that means they live in the bondage of their sin. Their sin belongs to them, not Christ, in the sense that they refuse to repent and believe in the one who came to take our sin and pay for it himself. For anyone bound in sin, heaven is like a locked door because they have rejected the key. They've rejected the forgiveness of sins, ours by Christ alone. Now, on the other side, the person who is loosed of their sin is the baptized believer who by faith trusts in that word of God that says, by Christ, you are free from the clutches of sin. The chains of sin have been loosed because not only does Christ have your sins, but by God's grace, the believer trusts in that promise. The believer has that gift of faith to believe and cling to our Lord and Savior Jesus, who has once and for all atoned for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. For anybody loosed of their sin, that means their sin doesn't condemn them. They are not condemned unto eternal death because you are free in Christ and the kingdom of heaven is yours. Locking, unlocking, binding and loosing. This is God's work. And he does it through his church. A church that Jesus has built. A church that our Lord says, not even the gates of hell will overcome it. Now, I talked about binding and loosing, which essentially means one's sins are either loosed in that person is forgiven by grace through faith in Jesus, or they are bound in their sins because they lack faith. They reject God's gift and promise, ours through Jesus. But the word church also shows up in the gospel lesson for today. And what that word means is simply the body of Christ, the communion of saints, believers spread throughout the world. The church is comprised of those believers called to faith in Jesus, ones baptized into his holy name, washed and forgiven, loosed of their sins, and heirs to life eternal. That is the church. In the book of Acts, Paul says something interesting. In the book of Acts, Paul will say the church of God was obtained by the blood of Jesus. That's Acts 20, verse 28. So when Jesus talks about building his church, it is not out of bounds to think about the crucifixion. How at the cross the Son of God laid down his life as the sufficient payment for the world's sins. God pays for the mess humanity has brought upon itself. Those who belong to God's church are those forgiven on account of this work. He has obtained you by his blood, purchased you from sin and death. Christ has loosened you of your sin. He gives you his word that this is true and it has happened. Binding and loosing. I've talked about the church, what it is, and how you get in. You get in through Christ and Christ alone. But it will also do us some good to talk about those things that keep one out of God's kingdom. And in doing that, we look to the words of Peter. Matthew chapter 16 has that great confession that St. Peter makes before Jesus. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It is upon that rock, the rock that is belief and confession of who Jesus is, a confession that comes from the mouth of the baptized faithful, on that Jesus will build his church. By that proclamation, by that confessed word and testimony of who Jesus is, people will hear that, and by God's grace, they will believe it, and the church will grow. Flesh and blood doesn't get that confession. It is not by flesh and blood that one attains that confession. It too is a gift. The natural man, by himself, does not understand things of the Spirit. And there were those people who didn't get who Jesus was. Some thought he was Elijah. There were those who thought he was Jeremiah. Some thought he was some other prophet. And there were those who thought he was John the Baptist. Now, not everybody knew who Jesus was. On that note, let me say this, people of God. If you get the wrong Jesus, you got the wrong key to the lock. You get the wrong Jesus, and you got the wrong key to the lock. And nothing obscures who Jesus is and his work faster than false teaching. A false doctrine that is not compatible with the words of Holy Scripture, but any teaching that presents a Jesus not found in Scripture. That Jesus is a product of the imagination. Friends, I can think of no greater lie than the one that says you can be an active, living, sustained, nourished Christian without ever stepping foot in church. The lie that says, hey, it's okay. You can continually neglect hearing the proclaimed word. You can stay away from the sacrament of the altar. The lie that says you don't need those things through which God promises to give you life. You'll be fine without them. Friends, it's a lie. It's a lie. There is a connection, you see, between heaven and what takes place on earth. Binding and loosing. It has heavenly implications. Let me explain. At the beginning of the divine service, we confess. We confess and receive absolution. And at the end of our confession, God's called servant always says, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And to that, we always say, Amen. The loosing of sins here and now, it happens on earth as it is in heaven. And that's not just for pastors. When a Christian tells you, your sins are forgiven, go in good cheer, God's peace is yours in Christ, even if another brother or sister in Christ tells you that, that's not just human wisdom and mortal advice. But you are forgiven now here on earth, as it is in heaven. binding and loosing, earthly as well as heavenly. The Lord's Supper, the sacrament of the altar, looks like a typical meal, doesn't it? Wafers, wine, a little snack to tie you over until lunchtime. Not so. Not so. It's not just an earthly meal. Our Lord Jesus says it's not. He says it's his body. He calls it his blood. And he says it's for the forgiveness of sins. That meal affects you now and unto life everlasting, binding and loosing on earth as it is in heaven. And finally, I would also like to bring up to all of you God's gift of private confession and absolution. That time when you go to your pastor to confess a sin that is really weighing on your heart, weighing on your mind, God's called servant is then commanded to forgive you, to absolve you of your sins in the name of Christ. And that forgiveness is just as valid and certain in heaven as Jesus says. These are gifts for you, people. These are gifts for you. Gifts here and now. Gifts that affect you unto life everlasting. Binding and loosing here on earth as it is in heaven. You see the connection. Don't avoid these gifts. Do not avoid them. They are for you. This binding and loosing of your sins, it is for you. Christ, the Son of the living God, he is for you. And so when you come here to this place, and we've got baggage, it's been a tough week, we're feeling the weight of our sin, and maybe this upcoming week you just know it's going to get a lot tougher. Friends, to you I say this, no, Jesus has already taken the weight of your sins upon his shoulders. And with all of your sins, all of them, past, present, and future, he goes to the cross, and he pays for every single one of them, pouring out his blood to do so, then uttering, "It is finished." And by this shed blood, he has obtained a church that he has made you a part of, a church that not even hell itself will prevail against. He is the door. Christ is the key. And so, loosed of your sins, I say unto you, go in his peace. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.